It's one of those Sundays, actually, when, I mean, that reading in Romans, that reading from Paul is wonderful. It's gorgeous, and it itself warrants a sermon or two. But our gospel as well, actually, because we carry on from last week, and as we discussed last week, in a sense, it was a shame because this story of Peter sort of revealing Jesus's identity, this kind of momentous moment when Peter goes, you know, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of Man, is sort of broken up with what we've just heard, where he, you know, he sort of, if you like, he sort of gets it completely right on one hand, and then a couple of seconds later sort of seems to fall over again. And thank goodness for poor Peter. I mean, what a human reaction that is, to kind of proclaim that your best friend is who he is, and then for your friend to say, well, that's what it means. You know, I'm the Son of Man. I'm God. This is my trajectory. And it's a very human reaction for Peter to say, no, that's not right. You can't suffer. That's not how it should be. And there's a lot of sympathy for Peter there, because of course, none of the teachings that he would have grown up with align the Messiah with someone who is going to suffer. That's not how it works. The Messiah is supposed to be someone who comes, liberates, elevates the nation to where it should be. Restore the glory of the nation and bring everyone forward, not to end up on a cross. We see very much in the gospel a turning, as a lot of the gospels do, from kind of Jesus's ministry to suddenly turning to Jerusalem, turning towards the cross, and a turning, if you like, from teaching to the people to preparing the disciples for what their task is, for what will come after Jesus has realized his ultimate mission. I want to sort of focus on, and I think it's interesting, Paul's letter to the Romans, because it very much plays into where I hope I'm going to go with this. And I also want to refer to our offertory hymn, which is In Christ Alone, which is a gorgeous hymn. And reflects on this notion of a cornerstone, of Jesus being a cornerstone. And those of you who know a little bit about buildings will know that one of the most important part of a building or a foundation is what's known as the cornerstone. It's kind of the thing that everything else comes from. And it's a very well-known imagery of Jesus being a cornerstone of everything, of faith, of growing through that. And it plays into where we were last week with Peter, who Jesus, on saying, you are the Son of God, Jesus goes, yes, you are Peter, you are the rock, you are the stone, you are the foundation of the church. And we sort of, last week we reflected very much on church community and what that maybe means for us here and now. And I want to sort of continue with that reflection. And I think when you sing these words, In Christ Alone, hopefully you're kind of, because I think they speak a lot into this notion. In some ways, today it's easy to think that Jesus is really rebuking Peter, that we think that Peter's got it really right and then got it really wrong. And Jesus is kind of rebuking him and sort of dressing him down in a sense. This whole notion of, you know, get behind me, Satan, which seems a very dramatic turn of events to go from sort of being the rock of the church, being the first pope, if you like, to suddenly being called sort of, you know, the complete opposite. So I want to kind of twist it a little bit. And actually, rather than thinking that Jesus is rebuking Peter, that he's actually offering him an invitation. Get behind me, as in follow me. Because no one can be in front of Jesus as he completes his ultimate mission, which is the journey to the cross. No one can walk in front of him. No one can really share what he needs to do. But what we can do and what we need to do is get behind and to follow. Maybe he's asking Satan to do the same thing. Yes, we could reflect on the possibility that Satan is offering some level of temptation. And clearly, I mean, the human side of Jesus, again, would be, I think, you know, it would be astonishing not to think that he at some point wondered whether or not he really had to do what he had to do. And we see that again, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all, you know, there are different points where you get this notion, you get this little window of the human Jesus that sort of questions a little bit about where he's headed. And so there is an element of temptation here, but I wonder whether actually Jesus is saying to everyone, follow me. See where I'm going and learn from it. Because he talks about the stumbling block. Again, this notion of stone, of blocks, of rock. And again, stumbling blocks are a kind of a recurring theme within scripture. And the Greek actually is where we get scandal from. The Greek for stumbling block, which I'm not going to pronounce because I won't be able to do this one because it's in my head now. But it is scandalon or something like that. And it's where we get the notion of scandal. And a stumbling block is literally as it sounds. It's something that stops something from moving forward. It's an obstacle in the way. Again, this notion Jesus is asking us to follow, not to get in front of him, not to create a stumbling block for him or for anyone else. Our mission as Christians, as a church, is to try and remove those stumbling blocks, believe it or not. Something I don't think the church necessarily is overly good at times. But it is. If we are to follow this mission that Peter has been offered, has been told, if we are to live through his mission of being the church, of being a rock, then we are disciples, we are followers of Christ. And we are to remove obstacles in front of people to have access to the good news, to have access to God, to Jesus. And that's where I think actually this section from Romans plays in so lovely with that, because in a sense, Paul lays out for us what it means, if you like, to remove those stumbling blocks, to be a people of welcoming, of accommodating, of drawing people in. And even to those who would oppose us, even to those who would put stumbling blocks in our way. It's interesting how Paul sort of says that, you know, heap pressure back on them because you sort of be really nice to them. You know, the harder they are on you, the nicer you are on them. It kind of flips it. And you might recall some instances in your life where actually that has happened, because very often people who try and put obstacles in your way, they want to divert you, and if you don't, they kind of struggle a bit. I think this morning, that notion of a stumbling block is quite difficult when, as I said at the beginning, where you hear news, as we have done, the huge unfolding tragedy that is happening in Nepal, in China, and the unimaginable sort of difficulty those situations have, reflecting on the families who just don't know where loved ones are, maybe will never know. You know, some casualties have been found many, many miles away from where it happened. Indeed, the news from Whiston, where, I mean, what should be a wonderful, I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 days, of gathering of people. I mean, you know, big church festival is a bit like Glastonbury for the church, if you go on. If you're not aware of it before, it's at Whiston House. I've not been, but it's a gathering of people in celebration of music, celebration of one another. And it's the last place that you would think something so awful would happen. It's very easy to question, to feel that is in itself a huge stumbling block to faith. Because many of those people who had been gathered there would have been young, would have been families. And it shouldn't be an event that has pain and suffering surrounding it. Just like at a border, control between two countries should not be a place, is a place of transition, is a place of excitement, of movement, of new opportunities. It shouldn't be a place of tragedy and difficulty. And it's easy to think of those to create stumbling blocks for our own faith and for other people to speak into it, and I'm sure they will. But this morning we are called by Jesus to follow, to watch where he goes from this point to the cross and beyond. Because we should never forget that Jesus' mission does not end at the cross. It begins with the resurrection and the offering of new life. That sacrifice that he gives creates a new creation, removes stumbling blocks for everyone to reach eternity. So I call you to think this morning as we sing Christ Alone, as we move through this week, as we go forward. Very much September is knocking on the door, and it's a time of new beginnings, of schools going back, of university. Lots of things always seem to happen around the autumn time. It's a real time of change, of transition, of new things going on, and a mix of those emotions of excitement and worries and all those sorts of things. Remember that Jesus holds all of those. He carries those as only he can on the cross. But he asks us to follow, to watch and to trust, and then to encourage others to follow. And that's where we need to be in our lives.